for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
1, 2, 1, 2. This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Obviously, you do not hear Brother Muhammad on the mic, the voice of your choice. You should know, y'all already know, he's out there in Atlanta working on that new Central Ave project. So, you know, shout him out. You know what I mean? They trying to bring a good black entertainment tonight vibe to the world, you know. Motherfuckers need that. But with that said, I do have a guest in the building, a friend of the podcast, one time for our arts. And I don't want to say arts and leisure, because that's taken, but our arts and restaurateur, shit talk, and even more from the Mundane Festival one time. Give it up for Chris Lambert.
What's going on, y'all? Thanks for having me, man.
What's good, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I can't complain. Wow, going through puberty. My voice cracked.
That's all right, man.
Puberty in my late 30s. I can't complain too much, man. Hanging in there, trying to elevate. You know how it is.
What you been up to, man? I know you've been on the television, popping up in a lot of different things.
Movies. Trying to be like you, man. But less humble about it.
Man, look, like, man. Well, then I need you to talk your shit. Tell the people where they could have seen you, what you've been doing recently. What's the last set you left? Because I see you on a fucking tear.
The last thing that I did that you could have seen me on was Orange is the New Black, the final season. You could see me as a juvie CO. Like, I had like one line in that.
The man for the little man.
Yeah. Damn. Like so it was directed by Laura Prepon, who's also on the show, and she was from that 70s show. So it was cool to get directed by Donna from that 70s. That was, she's beautiful and very nice, very sweet. Uh-huh. And that was cool. And then I did an episode of Mindhunter on season 2. Played Angry Man number 1.
Number 1.
Yeah, number 1. Not 3, but number 1.
Cuz Angry Man number 3, he's following along.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, Angry Man, it takes a lot to be Angry Man 1 cuz it's stewing in all 3 of the guys.
Yeah.
But she was like, "Fuck that."
I had auditioned for a bigger role, and they were like, no. But then they were like, you can go for Angry Man number 1. They said, we want to see him for Angry Man number 1. And I was like, all right.
Well, I mean.
How do you say no to David Fincher, the guy that made Seven and so many other ones, Social Network, all that shit?
Yeah. When you say you're going to be angry, it's a good way. Maybe that was just a whole method way of getting you angry.
Maybe.
By setting your expectations for one thing and say, hey, listen, that's not going to happen, but we got this and we need you to be pissed off about it. So bottle that.
Yeah.
Bring it to the set.
It was great. I got to go to Pittsburgh for the first time, and they filmed Pittsburgh for Atlanta. And I got to go, speaking of, since I'm a restaurant guy. But you and I always like text each other about food and restaurants. This spot called Primanti Brothers. I feel like we might have talked about this.
I think you asked me. I said, yo, check that out. I've never been.
Okay.
I always heard about it.
But it's great. Like the locals will tell you not to go to the suburban ones. They say go into the city, like downtown and what they call the strip district.
Okay.
Yeah. So shot that, and that came out.
What you get? Hold on. I got
roast beef, and they put French fries in the sandwiches. Okay. That's the thing that they do. And
so that's what makes it. What else? I see. I got some thick ass bread. Like what makes it?
It's okay. Good. So it's like the bread is kind of it's like a thick bread,
and like they a Texas toast type of situation?
Kind of like a Texas toast style, and. And then there's like this, I think there's a little bit of coleslaw in it too. And it's pretty good.
I understand the theory.
And I'm trying to think of the name of this hot sauce that I don't want to tank on, but it's germane to the central, that would be Western Pennsylvania area. And I got oh my God, I didn't know I was going to talk about this, but there's this really great hot sauce that they have.
Specific to that area.
Yeah, and if you do a deep dive into my Instagram that I'm going to try to do and not look like an asshole
by
ruining any time on the show, but Well, if you did a deep dive on my joint at Chris Lambert on Twitter,
Pittsburghers.
It's called, okay, I can see it in the background. It's like Red Devil.
Red Devil.
Like
hot, everywhere.
And it's not like that. No, it's not like the hot ones. It's not like shit that's gonna like burn your roof off.
Right.
It's like in the same, okay, so
it's got flavor.
Yeah, it's got flavor and it's in the same vein as like a Texas Pete or a Louisiana Pride, which most people are used to. Like I usually mess with the Texas Pete, Louisiana Pride, or like the Cholula.
I don't know if it's Louisiana Pride, but I know Louisiana hot sauce, you know, in the little look like a AMA, like in the little obelisk bottle and shit with the tiny red top. I always think about that with fried fish hot sauce. I always see that with a good stack of whiting on either some wheat or some white bread from either Famous Fish or actually from Taste of Seafood if we going all the way specific. But
And it's got to be the white bread. So this is Trappies Red Devil Cayenne Pepper.
Yeah, Trappies is in the world.
But I mean, like, I haven't seen it, like, here on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't.
No, it's out there.
Okay.
Go to, like, a Pathmark.
Because it was so, oh, really?
Well, rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace.
So go to a ShopRite or a C-Town.
I might have
associated something maybe in the hood. Maybe that's where Trappies is, you know, near the trap.
Okay, because actually when I did, like, I was so into that hot sauce on my way out because I drove out there.
Mm-hmm.
On my way out, I stopped at the grocery store and got a couple bottles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stock up.
Yeah, it was great. I'm out of it now, but, you know.
I'll tell you a good-ass hot sauce that costs a couple dollars, but a good Jerome's.
Is that like
that shit is banging. They make it out, and I think on shit. It's not St. Kitts. It's on research. Let me know where we at with Jerome's. I think it's one of the islands. If you put Jerome's hot sauce, it'll tell you where it's from. I want to say it's not St. Kitts. What's some of the saints? It's not St. Bart's. It's like, here we go.
St. Croix.
St. John?
St. John, I think it is.
Okay.
St. John, Jerome's. That shit is fire. That shit is fire. You got to, look for that.
Okay.
Check that out. Let me know what you think. It got some kick, but the shit got a lot of flavor. But anyway, we should figure, you know, we should follow this up on the Hot Sauce Tangents podcast.
That we're about to start.
Yeah. So you was out in Pittsburgh, Mindhunter.
Yeah, it was a long shoot. It was like a 16-hour shoot in a church. It was like season 2, episode 7, like maybe at the 42-minute mark where you can see me. So I had made a little noise in there, and it was directed by Carl Franklin, who directed Denzel and Don Cheadle in Devil in a Blue Dress, which was really dope.
Did you chop it up with him?
A little bit, yeah. The cool thing about that was, like, it kind of gave me this vibe of, like, because it's a – that's when the show kind of became black, when they had the, like – and it was cool to hang out with the other group of actors that were – the other angry people, and we just kind of went in the basement. We actually filmed it in this church in Pittsburgh, and it was like in the basement of this church, and we were all around doing it, like kind of like a pretty much a table read and running the lines. It just made me feel like it was so good to be just around all those black actors. Mm-hmm. It was like one of those moments where, like, yeah, this shit is dope as hell. Like, this reminds me of like doing theater in Chicago, doing black theater, and just like, and we brought that element. Like, I felt like that element was there. It just became like we created something, you know, which was cool.
That's dope. Were they like local, or they came out, they flew out like you?
From all over. Some were Atlanta, some were L.A.
So they had to import the
all
blacks.
Over. Yeah. Well, I guess so.
I get these blacks from afar.
Yeah. So it was really fun, man.
That's what's up, man. Congrats.
Yeah, man.
That's big shit, man.
Yeah, I'm working on it, you know how it is.
I could dig it, man. What else is going on? What you been watching? What you been up to, man?
Last week I went to the Brooklyn Bowl, and I hadn't been to Brooklyn Bowl in a long time. I went to see this band called Moonchild, which is like a jazz funk trio from USC. Questlove, I think he posted something about them on Instagram, and I checked them out, and I've kind of been rocking with them for almost a little over a year now.
Moonchild,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And they are these young white people from L.A., and I've been vibing out to their music for a while. They've got about three proper albums out, and one that's like kind of like more of a independent EP, but it's all on, you can stream it anywhere. But like they were fucking incredible. Like I was expecting to go have a good time, but I was just blown away at how talented they were. Like there was a point where they're singing, and she like this the lead singer is a woman named Amber Navran, and she's singing, and then the other two guys are on the keys and on the, you know, doing their thing playing, and then at a point they all pick up horns. They pick up like horn, like
even
saxophone.
The singer?
Yeah, and wow. Just start rocking out, and it was just like, what the fuck? Because like, you know, like listening to their music, you're like, oh yeah, they got a horn section, which I'm a sucker for horns.
Right.
And like I was just like, oh, these are great. But you don't expect that it's them, because you're not really looking at the liner notes when you're fucking streaming something. You know what I mean?
So they doing everything.
Yeah, and their drummer's black though. And he was keeping the time.
Get that rhythm.
But they were rocking out, and it was just fucking incredible, man. It's it was just great to experience that, because it's like, you know, we spend a lot of time like doing shows for other people and getting up there doing our thing, and it's always any time that I have the opportunity to like just like be an audience member is fucking cool.
Mm.
And I'm glad that I was there. There were other older people there too. I didn't feel like a plainclothes cop.
Oh, okay. Well, because like you said they're young, huh?
Yeah, I feel like they're not 30 yet. Uh-huh. Or if they are, it's like they're early 30s.
So how'd you get put on to Moonchild?
Questlove, he posted about it on, yeah, like Instagram or something like that.
Okay.
And they're like, just listening to them in interviews, like they talk about like they've been influenced by Erykah Badu and, you know, D'Angelo. Like,
so that's the vibe?
Yeah, that's the vibe. Like, it's just very like, I don't know if you ever rock with Hiatus Kaiyote.
Yeah, I know who they are.
They're a little more. Hiatus Kaiyote is, they're dope, but they have a more of an edge to them. Like,
which one, Moonchild or Hiatus?
Hiatus Kaiyote has a little more of an edge. These guys, Moonchild, are like, they're like really smooth. They're just really, there's no clunker. Okay. I made myself a playlist on my Tidal account, and just like all of their albums that they have on there. Like Amber had an EP.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the new album, and it's just like you can just rock with that for like, I think it's maybe 2.5-3 hours long, and you just like, I was riding to the show listening to that playlist and was just like vibing out to it, just getting, you know, getting ready. And yeah, they're dope, man. So if you're into that type of music, they're
Moonchild,
yeah, definitely worth checking out.
That's funny, I don't know if this is a white thing, I'm not sure, because I heard it from a white person.
Okay. Don't get canceled.
No,
I'm fucking with you.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
And our white experts say, hold on, let's check this. He's poised for fact checking. You say you was listening to Moonchild on the way to the concert, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to Maria Raha, dope writer, my old boss. But, okay. When she was the first person I ever heard say this shit, she was like, if I'm going to a concert and I don't listen to the music of the person I'm going to see, because it's bad luck.
Mm.
I never heard that shit before. That's why I'm like, maybe that's just some her shit. That's just her own specific thing. But she spoke it in a way where it was like, it felt like it was agreed upon little people
like
more
universal.
Behind us. So I was like, maybe that's some white shit, because I know you.
Oh, she's white.
Yeah, she's white. You said a while, unfortunate, like, oh, God. we're gonna ask white expert, what do you think?
I think this is a her thing. I've never heard of this show.
Yeah, I've never. It's
all
weird.
Right, well, but, there it is.
Because I took a road trip to Northampton, Massachusetts, over the summer to see this singer songwriter Jenny Lewis.
Uh-huh.
You might know her from this movie called The Wizard with Fred Savage from a long time ago, like maybe mid to late 80s, when they introduced Super Mario Brothers 3.
No.
You don't remember that?
This is around when he was still doing Wonder Years?
Yeah, this was like...
So this is young Fred.
This is young Fred Savage.
Okay.
And Jenny Lewis was the girl, and she had this band called Rilo Kiley. Anyway, she's got a great solo career, and I hadn't seen her in a long time. I hadn't seen her perform in a long time. She had an album that came out this year, and I was like, you know what? She was doing some show opening for, I think she was opening for Death Cab for Cutie in South Jersey. And I was like, that's on a weeknight. I'm not going to do that and go to work the next day. Fuck it. I'm going to go to Northampton, Mass. Just to take like a mini excursion. Uh-oh. It's only 2.5-3 hours. Okay. And I went there. She rocked out. I was listening to like all of her shit on the way up there. Just like refamiliarizing myself with the old shit and then listen to the new shit. And to me, it made for a better experience. You knew I kind of do that most. I kind of do that with most shows.
I guess Maria was influential because I was like, you don't do it. Hell no. I try not to jinx the shit. Or you know what, though? I like to go into all of the, obviously, music-wise, if I'm going to see you, I'm probably familiar with whatever you've done most recently. So to kind of let the impact of the live performance hit, I might not fuck with your shit. I might not listen to it the day of, right? I might have adopted that. Just out of, just like, oh, that's kind of interesting, right? As far as music goes, what I do notice that I like is when I go see some shit, and then I'm like, I don't know anything about this person.
Yeah.
And they rocking.
Yeah.
And everybody in there know the words to the shit, and they know the whole, the vibe to the whole. They into it. They know how to, you know what I mean, put some stink on this part, and they know this is the part where she go, or he going to throw the mic, and they go, da-da-da-da-da. You like, oh, you the only motherfucker in there that.
You're like, what is that? Wow, you guys.
Yeah. And then I like going and discovering, like, oh, shit, I'm kind of late on this. Let me see what's what. And then, you know, with that, with the context of how they rocked, it'll make me a little bit more eager to go check they shit out.
I had two stories I could tell you about that. One is where I had that experience kind of happen for me taking people to go see a certain artist.
Right.
Like also this happened at Brooklyn Bowl. I was seeing this girl and she couldn't go, and I wanted to go. I got tickets to see Odyssey. And one of my favorite MCs, DC area guy, but Brooklyn, he lives in Brooklyn now, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the lady I was seeing at the time couldn't go. And then I had a buddy and his fiance, now wife, were like, oh, what's up, Chris? What are you doing? I was like, hey, man, I'm going to this Odyssey show. You want to go? And we made like a day out of it. We ate chicken there before the show.
Blue Ribbon chicken. Yeah, that shit.
Blue Ribbon is popping. A little expensive, but you know, it's good. You're paying for the overhead when you go in there, but it's just
fried chicken.
You know, just they just closed the one in Hell's Kitchen, I think. One of my homies
standalone.
Yeah, but it's good.
I never trust the standalones. I don't know, because I was always introduced to it being part of either that Brooklyn Bowl or even there's one in that hotel, the Six Hotel on 58th Street.
And there's one in the Village, too.
Yeah, but that's a standalone.
Is that gone?
Oh, no. That's part of the sushi joint. Yeah,
is it
everything
still gone? Okay. I don't know. So we ate. It was a good-ass time, and they had never really heard Odyssey's music. Right. And he came out there with a live band and just, like, fucking destroyed.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. And then I went to see Sky Zoo at the Blue Note. This might have been maybe 2015, 2016. He did like a little residency at the Blue Note. And there's this one guy like up front that was just like rapping along with Sky Zoo. And then he did a meet and greet after the show. And I think that dude just gave Sky Zoo like $100, just like dapped Sky Zoo up and gave him some cash and just like, this is for everything. Wow. Like, you know, probably like downloaded his shit and all that, you know, but just like, it was just like, yo, he knew all the words because he was rapping the whole, and Sky Zoo ain't one of them motherfuckers that's just like,
this shit is dense.
It's dense. Yeah. And so he was rapping along with him and, you know, Sky Zoo and Pete Rock album, Retropolitan also.
Yeah, that shit is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Sky Zoo. Good. That's good people. Hell of a lyricist.
Yeah.
Yeah, more people should be talking about that Retropolitan album.
It's weird, man. It's just like stuff kind of comes and goes, and you kind of don't get to really digest and celebrate it. Like, I feel like sometimes I'm coming like, have you heard that guy? You know, that guy did that album. It's pretty good. You know, like, and it's like months later. It's just, I feel inundated. I feel like just when I feel like I'm catching up on stuff, I'm so behind.
Right.
Like sometimes Tidal, what it'll do, if you have a playlist or you're playing an album, when that album goes off, then they'll play somebody like that artist.
Right.
And you're like, who the fuck is this? And then you look and like, this guy's been around for 14 years. You know, like, you know, like.
Anybody specific that happened to you recently?
Oh, man.
Well, you're like, damn, I didn't even know.
It's so, I'm trying to, it's some of these like R&B singer chicks.
Okay.
It's like that they all, some of them kind of sound the same, but they're all good, but you can't, it's hard to kind of differentiate who they are. But like, nothing, I'm trying to think of this. I can't. All my right. mind's kind of.
Yeah, man, I kind of like, I've surrendered to the fact that I'm not going to be hip to the new shit right at the
right away,
right before it blow. Like, I'm not an A&R. I don't make no money doing this shit. But, I mean, like, and I love it, but
yeah,
I'm like, I'm not throwing all that shit all by myself. I don't give a fuck if I'm late, because you know somebody gonna be like, yo, that, you ain't heard da 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 da. Oh, that shit crazy. It's too much shit. I'm not chasing none of this content no more. It's too much fucking content.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Bug you the fuck out.
But what I appreciate about you and Ali is that you guys are up on it way more than me. And, like, you can mention somebody and I'll be like, oh, okay. Like, one example I did, I just looked at my account and it was, like, Mahalia. She's a singer, songwriter.
Doing Mahalia Jackson?
No, I think she's from the UK.
Say, damn, I think she had news.
I think she came out with something that's, she's got an album out called Love and Compromise that's relatively new. It came out last month.
Well, how she sound? Was she like? Does she sound like a Mahalia?
God, no. She's not. She just sound like a the cute girl.
It's like baby hair music? That's what I call that genre. Like, where it's real wispy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of people with... But they mad cute and the beat is crazy.
Right.
Like, oh shit. You
know what I mean?
You know, damn, that she look good to the motherfucker.
Exactly.
The vibe is lit. Yeah, I call that baby hair music.
Yeah, okay.
Shout out to all the baby hair musicians.
Yeah.
I know who y'all are. Speaking of some shit that I've been fucking with, and you definitely put on some people to moonshot, I'm sure.
I hope they I think they'll do it.
And Jenny Davis. Jenny need to respect Jenny the fact Lewis. That you took a Jenny Lewis.
Yeah.
Jenny Lewis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Jenny. Jenny Lewis, that's, I'm thinking Jennifer Lewis.
No. Not the black actress.
But yeah, that trek to Northampton needs to be respected.
Oh, yeah, she got to respect
it. So Jenny, you know.
Holla at me.
There you go. You know what I'm fucking with, though? The Alchemist put out this album called Yacht Rock 2.
Okay, yeah, I did see that. So it's dope?
That shit hard. Okay. I fuck with it. You know, I'm a big Alchemist fan, one of my favorite producers. And, you know, it's got motherfuckers on there. Bronson's on there. Willie the Kid is on there getting busy. Boldy James is on there getting busy.
Is Evidence on there?
I mean, might be. I'm not.
I mean, I know they work. He worked with them the last.
Yeah. What's the Jada Kiss?
Conway. Conway is nice, right?
Yeah. That whole Griselda situation
I got a vibe. I got to check them out, like Benny the Butcher.
Benny been putting out some shit. Benny got The Plugs I Met. That's fire. That's probably the most recent shit. And then he had Tana Talk 3.
Okay, because did he have a record with Black Thought?
Yeah, that's on The Plugs I Met. Black Thought got busy. That's what I think I was referring to, too, when I said 38 Special, Jadakiss. They on that They on that Benny album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the shit, rap wise, like, mm-hmm. I mean, we were texting about this. Like, I felt like, I was like, I feel like, and you kind of set me straight, but I kind of feel like Bandana is probably like one of the best of the year.
I think so.
Yeah, like I like the Little Brother has only been out for about a month or so, but, and I do, I love Little Brother, but like, it's something about that combination with, I think, Freddie Gibbs even talked about it, like it made him step his game up.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I want to hear when I want, like when an MC is like, this motherfucker just made me, like.
Yeah. I think it made, who's that, Madlib?
Mm-hmm.
I think Madlib and Freddie Gibbs both been dope independently. Obviously, Madlib's been dope for longer you know, Freddie, but they both been consistently dope. But maybe overlooked, or they got a fan base that's like, you know, that's rabid. Like they got a little, you know, they got a fan base that might not be super big, but the people that fuck with them. And I think that putting the two of them together, it made you pay attention to both of them. Because Freddie, he be spitting some shit.
Yeah.
And I think if you don't tune in, you might miss it. And I think Madlib, the music on that shit and the way he chopped records and shit is not like everybody else. And the way it showcases the MC, the way they did is real. That shit is dope. So it really pulls you into where you pay attention. Like, I love fucking with, like, I go back to Palmolive.
Yeah.
Heavy. That's one of my favorite records on there.
I mean, Crime Pays is a single, but like, it's a hell of a fucking single. Like, you don't, like, you want to be like cool and be like, yeah, I mean, yeah, Crime Pays is good, but I'll give you this B-side that I like.
Yeah.
But that shit, like, I remember coming up on stage with, that was like my entrance music, walk-on
Crime
music.
Pays? That's hard.
Ooh, yeah. Look to the sky. Uh-uh. Like, that sample, they don't even say, they tell you who did the beat, but they don't even know who that woman is. It's like an unnamed.
Really?
I was digging for it, too.
I got to listen to it again and know exactly what record you're talking about.
Crime Pays, nigga, Crime Pays.
I kind of get that. I just don't know how the vibe sound. I got to hear the beat again. Shit, that's a tough ass album.
Yeah, like that, and it was like a transition on one of the records. Like, you know how it's like two beats and one. I think it's Massage Seats.
Okay.
And right before you get to right, no, it's Fake Names. Okay. And then it just he's saying some shit.
Yeah.
And then like the last record, not the what is it? No, Education with like. Yasin and Black Thought. It's just like, you know, like you hear when Mos Def comes out of his, he's always going to be Mos to me. Black on Both Sides, 20 years, came out 20 years ago, like over the, like this past weekend.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
That's a classic album, though.
Yeah.
Are you about to say Yasin Bey?
Yasin Bey.
Yeah, I got to listen to that verse again. He came, he picking his spots.
He like just when he comes out of his fucking reclusive hole and I hear that he's doing like a tour of like just doing Black on Both Sides live.
That's cool.
But yeah, he's one of the best shows I've ever rap shows I've ever been to and don't really remember it. I wasn't like intoxicated. I wasn't high or drunk. It was just like he was just Maceo like did the boards for him, like DJ'd for him.
Right.
And it was just like in Chicago, and it was just insane.
Maceo from De La Soul?
De La, yeah, yeah.
Did it for Mos Def?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hard.
And it was dope, but he's, yeah, man, he's...
He's a beast.
He's incredible, like...
He's a beast.
Yeah. Reminds me of, like, at the time when Rising Down from The Roots came out, and, like, Mos is the first, like, that song that's, like, with Jadakiss. And the record's like, hello, 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 hello. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Mos Def does the first rap verse you hear is him.
To start the whole album out.
And it's just like, it's amazing. It's like the verse of his life on that joint.
What do you say about Jadakiss? That's Jadakiss is saying hello, hello? What do you mean Jadakiss?
Jadakiss is on that record. I think Jadakiss might close it out.
Jadakiss is on a fucking Roots album?
You know what? That's probably Styles P. Hold on.
It might be
Let me not
or
be.
I
Rising Down.
I think it might be a Styles P, but either way.
I'll find it.
That threw me off.
Sorry.
We could check that out.
I think it's Styles P.
Let research get that. Research, see what's popping with
I
the
can correct
Roots
myself.
Rising Down is Jadakiss. Whoa. Yeah, I don't think he.
It's fucking Sheik Louch?
Sheik,
I was.
Looch, brother. Sheik Louch? Please respect
Looch.
That, man.
Sorry, I'm from Maryland, guys. Oh, fuck.
Shit.
I'm going to get canceled already. Guys, I'm sorry.
Like interloper.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to. I'm not. I don't.
It's all right, man.
I'm not saying that. I'm not a hip hop head. But right. I know a little bit.
Shit.
Fuck. Can we edit that out?
Nah, brother. We got to let the people
Sheik
flame you.
Sheik Louch.
There you go. You want to alter it?
Just it's not me. It's Sheik Louch.
Oh, it's my favorite Lox member, Sheik Louch.
God damn it. They all sound alike.
Oh
shit.
All right. Damn, yep. I didn't even realize that. I've been listening to that shit
be
in a minute.
I'm not going to be on BET.
Oh, man. We'll see what happens.
I'm not going to get to host the Hip Hop Awards.
Next time, man.
Yeah, but no, like that's like that was an incredible verse. That's how good the verse is. I don't mess up rappers' names.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's bad.
What else? Anything else you listening to you want to talk about while we in this,
I like
this
the
music
new,
situation?
I like the Wale album. I got through most of it. Like I like him. I'm wondering, like, I don't know how I can pose this without, I've already said fucked up.
Speak your mind, like, brother, Sheik Louch.
Do you feel like, is Wale, because LL was like the lover man guy.
Uh-huh.
Is Wale that equivalent, or are like the modern era, like, I'm making, this is a girl song. I'm making this song. Mm-hmm. This is a song about a lady. This mm-hmm. is a relationship song. Who's out there that's doing that right now? Is it anybody better than Wale at it?
Making songs that women like?
Like, just, well, Drake.
I mean,
if I say
Drake is that guy, if we going to say LL, because LL was a big star. So Wale's not a big, I mean, not a big star, but like, Drake make them big ass records, just like LL makes some big ass records.
I think you're right. That's fucked up. Why did that fucked up twice?
Drake, Wale, he like a poet. He gonna make
those.
Well,
that's kind of what I, yeah.
He
like,
gonna
you know,
make the joints for the I don't know what they, like Wale's, the Shea Butter.
He got a song called Black Girl Magic.
The Neo Shays, as Young Muhammad would say. He's good with the Neo Shays.
Okay.
He's, you know what I mean? He's good with that, a lot of poetry on the albums.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want you to, you know, all of the cadence. You know what I mean? It might even be a couple snaps and shit. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
Burning incense. It's definitely, you know, some incense burning and upliftment and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Celebration, which is all good. And the shit, and they can spit, you know?
That's what I mean. Like, because I think Wale, I just think Wale is just, for me, like, I think he's an incredible MC. Like, it's partly maybe the albums never drew me in as much as I would have liked, but I still.
Why is that?
I don't know. Like, one of my homies from back home, from PG County, was like, you know, he's like, there's a mixtape Wale, and then there's an album Wale.
That's like almost, that seems like that's the, at least in the last 10 years, that's been the divide amongst everybody's favorite rappers. You know, it's the mixtape versus the, so what's the difference your homie say?
It's just like when, it's almost like this appeal to, like, mainstream, like I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say this, but like, it's like we're trying to make these things sell as opposed to just like letting it happen.
Right.
Where it's just like the verbal dexterity that he has on like a lot of these records that were on like a mixtape about nothing or 100 miles and running. It's like, mm-hmm. it wasn't that much structure. Like, he's rhyming over that Dilla
just
beat.
Just spitting.
For like, did Q-Tip do what's that, Less Ride? Dilla did that beat, right?
Yeah.
From
that's Dilla, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
From,
like he's just like rhyming over that.
That beat is fire.
Yeah, like rhyming over like some Camp Lo shit, and mm-hmm. you just get, but it, you know, and even like the mixtape About Nothing was just like, that was still like, to me, it came off like an album. Now, like, speaking of Sky Zoo, when I talked to him on my podcast, it was, I'm trying to remember what he said, if I talked about that with him off mic or wasn't on mic. It's not anything bad, but he was like,
about Wale?
No. Just about like mixtape versus like album.
Oh, okay.
Like, where he was like, you know, like, some of these songs I could write in my sleep. He wasn't being a dick about it. He was just like, he's fucking, like, one of my favorite songs from Sky Zoo is a mixtape song. This record called Grew Up on Kool-Aid, where he was like, he's like, you know how if you ever talk to a musician and they're like, oh my God, that song's fucking incredible. He's like, oh yeah, I came up with that in like 2 minutes.
Right.
He was just like, yeah, like, I kind of remember that. I don't know if I would, but you know, he remembered it, but he was just like, yeah, that's, I don't know that I would put that on an album. Like, the way, and he wasn't being like cocky about it. He was just like, there's a reason to have it on X than not to have it on Y.
Right.
Where it's like, that song, I've did walk on music to that song like a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. Where it was just like, that shit just like gets me hype. But I don't know. But I still think he's good. I think Wale's dope. I think he's a better lyricist than Drake.
Hmm.
He writes his own stuff.
I don't know. I think Wale is a dope lyricist. I think he is. I can't. You know what it is? I think that in my own observation, it feels like there's an integrity.
Yeah.
That he brings to his shit, where it's like he you know, like, I think he. Maybe he's in conflict with how much emotional and how neurotic a lot of his music can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And coffee shop esque dope. It's got range, but maybe it's not like trying to be a big broad single. He could do that too, but it's oftentimes like there's some nuance to what's going on, and you know what I mean. I think that's part of the charm to his shit that. You know, to like, especially particularly like the women that he, you know, he's rapping about or the stuff. I think they feel seen, even though I think Drake does too.
Drake is a star. Like he's like a
Drake is a ham. Drake will go for it. You know what I mean? He you know, when you even see him in videos and acting and shit like that, Drake will go for it. He don't take himself as seriously as I think Wale does. I think Drake will say, "Fuck it, I can look silly. I could have a good time. I could be goofy. I might not be the coolest motherfucker in the room." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like Wale, like, you know, y'all going to have to respect me. You know what I'm saying? Because I take this shit serious and, you know what I mean? It's a little bit more heavy. I think maybe that's the difference in my own thing.
You know what? And with that explanation, I think maybe you've kind of brought home the mixtape versus album guy, where it's like, I'm going to show you this lyrical dexterity that I have on this mixtape, and then I'm gonna hone in on something when I do an album.
It's like N1 versus NBA.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna cut your ass up. I'm gonna let you know I could get crazy with the lyrical miracle and all that other shit and talk that shit, and I could spit over your favorite beat because I'm not trying to clear it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But then when it's time for the label to get involved.
Right.
And it's a budget behind that and there's expectations and I gotta recoup. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, all right, maybe I might work with some songwriters, maybe I might have to do a feature with somebody that, you know what I mean, has some cachet or draw to it, or maybe we gotta think of a big record, a record that'll be like, yo, I could see the video to this. So it's a little bit more agenda oriented than just I want to express myself. I just feel like talking some shit, not for nothing. It is what it is. I like these beats. I got a flow. I feel this vibe. I'm just gonna let off. This is just fucking, what do they call that shit? Free association or whatever.
Yeah.
Stream of consciousness. You know.
Cause that's what I think about, like, when I think about like putting together my like stand up album, where it's like maybe this is an off mic discussion. But I was thinking like, you know, because sometimes when you talk about hip-hop and you talk about these rappers and stuff, I just try not to come across as being pretentious, where it's like, yeah, I like Sky Zoo or I like Elza. And I think it might have been 2016 when Elza came out with that album. He came out with the album where it was the picture of him and all these... I think it was called Lead Poison was the name of the album, I think. Mm-hmm. And he had this really creative song called 2 16s. And he had and it was like, yeah, I'm going to give you these 2 16s, but I'm giving it to you over this laid-back beat in a way that I want to give you these 2 16s. I thought that was creative. It was like a story behind it. And at the same time, like a Sky Zoo, who did this album with Apollo Brown, but he did this album with Apollo Brown.
Right.
He had this record on like the Stretch and Bobbito show. I don't know if you remember.
I know
that record.
About, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
I was like,
it's like 97 New York, or not 97, but
like,
it felt
yeah,
it was,
like
yeah.
He was an artist back then, and he was on the show, and the way they Apollo Brown put it together, and I was like, wow, this is fucking great, but nobody's talking about it, and I'm not trying to be like an asshole, but like those songs were great, and you guys don't fucking understand, man. But I mean, that's the shit that. I guess it's just a taste thing.
Yeah.
And I, you know,
and everybody
I'm
ain't going to be to the party early. Some
right.
Some people going to get, you know, their grace years later. Like you just said, with Mahalia, you just found out about her. She been out in these streets. That's the beauty of music and the beauty of, like, discovery.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You like, and that's like you getting hip to a new show, and it's seven seasons of that shit.
Yeah.
So you could binge it. You ain't got to live like somebody that had to watch it week to week. You could be like, oh, what? You know what I mean?
That's true.
So I think that's the beauty of what's going on now. That's why I'm like, I'll get to it when I get to it. I don't need
true,
to be
yeah.
on. Yeah, this ain't no competition.
What about that power?
Let's talk about it, man. Let's get into it. Where you at? Let's where do you want to start? Where do you want to start?
You don't spoil people.
Oh, we spoil it here.
Okay.
We know they know.
I listen. I just don't. I don't want to. I don't want to.
Power is spoiled by 11:40 a.m. on that Sunday.
Dude, as soon as I get up, I'm watching.
Shit is like church.
Yeah, it is.
It's where it go. I'm there every morning. Deacon St. Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
So this episode.
Do you want to just start with the, if it bleeds, it leads?
If it bleeds, it leads. All right, go with it.
R.I.P. Keisha.
Shout out to Keisha. Keisha,
man,
took one to the dome piece.
I didn't, like, I.
Well, took a two.
I didn't expect that. I expected maybe she dies, but not through the hands of Tasha.
I think I might. I want to.
You
say
you.
I
say
think
that
I called it on here on the speculation report. I think my two hot takes were Keisha's gonna kill. I mean, Tasha's gonna kill Keisha, which I didn't think was the biggest hot take. And then I think Tariq is gonna kill Tommy.
Wow.
Those are my picks, my speculation report. I want to stand behind these takes. I think I called that Tasha Keisha. We had to go back in the archives to give me my props, but I feel like it is true. It is in my soul, so I wasn't surprised.
Okay.
There was a lot of foreshadowing to Keisha getting popped.
All the Holly stuff and the mom, I knew that was going to come up, but
Tommy's mom is like a grim reaper for Tommy's
mom. She really is. You know, the last bitch died.
Yeah, I'm just going to say. I think she's one of the funniest characters, Tommy's moms, though. I think she came in, put the fucking photo in front of Cash.
That's fucked up.
She's like, I don't even know Shorty. Boom, here I am. Keisha, she wasn't built for it from the beginning. We saw that. They painted it like that. She was only going to go but so far. Her son meant a lot to her. What kind of started bugging me, I think we talked about this in the last episode, was the fact that, or maybe not, in this most recent episode when they were like, you don't want to end up like your baby father. So now I'm like, wait, her baby father is in jail or whatever. But so I don't know what her baby father is in jail for, but if the guy's in jail for some criminal shit, why is Keisha so green to the game? You know what I mean?
Maybe he left her out of it.
Maybe that was what that's the thing that I'm gonna give that to that. But man, I like Tasha a lot this season.
She's not taking any shit. So you guys, I'm trying to remember what you I felt like the end of like near the end of that not this week's but last week where Tasha's now gonna teach Tariq the game. Mm-hmm. I rolled my eyes at that one.
You didn't like that?
Just like, I'm gonna teach you the game. The fuck out of here.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. It was just kind of whack.
I didn't see it coming. I'll be honest with you. I didn't either. I didn't see it coming.
But
it makes perfect sense.
It makes sense. Like, man, you can rationalize it, but it's just like, now I'm going to teach
you. But you know what? That's always been her role. She's always been cross her T's, dot her I's, even with Ghosts. Like, did you do this? Did you do that? Nigga, you slipping. Tommy, did you do that? She's like, you know what I mean? Admin.
She was not Carmela Soprano.
Nah, she was Trapper like. Admin. You know what I mean? Like, hold on, let me look at these time cards.
Yeah.
Nigga, you can't push three keys and say you only work 6 hours. Now, we got to bring this down, and I got to go ahead and send an invoice to old Domingo or whomever our supplier is.
Yeah.
I like the fact that she was always, she took that shit serious.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy take it serious emotionally. Ghost is a little detached to it. He owe his lifestyle to it, but he's kind of trying to go legit.
Get away from him. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Tasha trying to go in the rafters. She like, nigga, if we going to be in it, we might as well be the best.
Right.
And we not going to be the best if you motherfuckers are not diligent. So CC Tariq, She already said, yo, Tariq, this motherfucker's gone.
Yeah.
He in the streets.
Yeah.
You know, he talking about going ahead and trying to get education, but he already know this whole shit is a sham.
Right.
You feel away because y'all didn't put him on. Y'all didn't let him. You weren't transparent about who you really were.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, his twin in life is done.
Yeah.
This motherfucker.
So he checked out.
Yeah, he checked out. And he's acting out. So she's like, well, shit, if you're going to act out, if you want
to show you how to do it right.
If you want
to
be a crash test dummy, let me give you just a route.
Maybe I just didn't like the vibe of it. It's just, I was just like, oh, okay.
I'm not mad at Josh.
You kind of want him to get out of the shit. I don't know. How did you feel about Walter White? Did you want him to get, maybe we can talk about El Camino.
I didn't watch El Camino yet. I got to check it out.
Okay.
I've been kind of slow to get to it because I feel like we dancing on sacred ground. And then I also heard it was not all of that, supposedly.
It was, as you say,
regular. Hey, which we don't, hold on. I thought somebody was trying to get to the mic. I thought it was a unsolicited opinion over here. Like,
I'm not happy to say that, but
Man.
You know what? It's two more episodes of Breaking Bad.
I never even made it all the way through Better Call Saul, which I heard is great.
Better Call Saul is pretty.
I heard it's good. I heard
terrific.
It's complimentary.
I think it's very good. Salute.
But what are we talking about? What else stood out?
Just like, do you feel the same way about Ghost as you feel about Walter White? Like a guy doing fucked up shit, but he's trying to. Well, Walter White never really wanted to get out of it.
He didn't want to get out of it. He just tried to. He got caught up in the game. And I was all in.
But Ghost went. Do you want him to get away with it? Maybe it's like, okay, how do
he's
I want to say
it? He's already gotten away with all of this shit.
Like scot free, like the rest of. He's already lost his kid.
The walk off.
Yeah, like he get away from it all without any more scars.
You know what? I think what they showing you, even though we might not, and be prepared for this potentially, I don't think it's going to happen because I think these people are a little bit more heavy handed. But what could, if you want to accept it, you really can't walk away from it. Like you said,
yeah.
He done lost his daughter already. I think Tasha even said that shit. Like, he lost his daughter. He lost his wife. He lost his side chick. He lost his son.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his homie, his Cody. You know what I mean?
He lost his club. The building.
He lost Proctor. He damn near lost everything. He's chasing the idea of legitimacy. And the thing is, I don't think he could ever be legitimate because that shit is haunting him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe the carrot now is, you know, homegirl that works with Tate, she got a pass. She like, look, I know you did dirt. I did dirt too. I could walk you through because I know how to do this. I'm on the other side, allegedly. And even they side eye her.
And then Tate. He took away the building, the construction, all that shit.
The Queens.
Queens project.
Yeah,
right.
I think, but then it come back? Or it's,
he was
oh,
like,
yeah, he
you
shut
fuck
it down.
With me, like, I took away all this shit.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like,
so I now mean, he's going to kill Tate.
And even, I mean, he going to have to. I mean, but even that, like, a rec center? That's legitimizing you for fucking basketball hoops?
We're going to do this rec center.
You know what I mean? Shit.
We're going to have checkers.
Man.
Kids.
Man, I don't know what's gonna happen with Ghost. I don't even see what a win looks like for Ghost unless everybody's dead. You know what I mean? Like, because then there's no expectation. You know
everybody
what I mean?
Everybody dies.
Everybody gotta die except Ghost for him to be like, and then still.
Damn.
You know, but who knows? We'll see what happens. What else happened in there? Dre, I'm ready for Dre to get killed.
He's annoying.
He's just, you know,
I don't really care.
This nigga just snitching at will.
Yeah.
Indignantly snitching.
The dude
like,
saved
you know,
his kid and he killed
him. Yeah, I'm ready. Get him out of here. I like, you know, I like the cat Rotimi that's playing the role.
Uh-huh.
You know, I respect it. But I guess that's a testament to his performance.
Yeah,
I'm ready
yeah.
for him to get the fuck out of here. Sax is looking like a madman. He's bugging. What's homegirl's name? She reminds me of, what's homegirl's name? Blanca? Blanca. Blanca's the sister, right?
I think so.
What's homegirl's name? The lady, the police officer, the detective, the Latina detective, Suarez.
Okay.
Is it Suarez?
I don't know. I think it's Suarez.
Shout out to, I think it's Suarez. But anyway, she remind me of Quincy. What's the detective that had the dead eye? Is it Quincy? Who's the guy? Columbo. She remind me of Columbo. I think she's channeling Columbo, even how she talks. Her patience was like, so, like, she's real, like.
She's very, like, yeah. Fake, like New York-y, but kind of like old like school.
Yeah, like a hard-boiled novel. So, so you say that
this guy you said you were with.
The perp. You guys were at the circus?
Yeah.
Who goes to a circus on a Wednesday, though? I would think a circus is more of a Friday, Saturday kind of thing. You know, it's kind of that type of thing. And I think, you know what you're saying. She got a lot of, like, Bogart in her delivery.
It's like, what are you doing?
She's all right. I'm not as mad at her as I am with sex. I'm ready for sex to get killed.
They're just kind of annoying when you want them. Like, when she pulled Keisha over, right?
Yeah.
I was just like, ah, fuck.
I thought Tariq was gonna do more. I don't know. He got his dope fiend teacher. Now he got his dope fiend teacher about to start selling for him.
Fucking Tariq.
That shit is crazy.
One of the best villains on television right now.
He's definitely polarizing.
Yeah, he is.
Sure. You know.
He's always gonna be Tariq now. What do you think about this fucking bullshit winter break thing they're gonna do? They're going to do one more episode, then we got to wait for the last few.
That's kind of corny.
I hate that.
They're going to kill all the momentum.
What else has Starz got?
I don't know. After that shit, I know one thing. If it's a break, I'm going to be a break too. Yeah. Nigga, I done cut so many cords recently. Shit. I'm out here, no cable.
Really?
I did it. I cut cable. I'm on a strict Wi-Fi situation. I'm paying for internet, so I got I got Hulu, Amazon Prime, and Netflix, right?
Yes, that's me too. Yeah.
So I did a little trial of Hulu Live to see what that shit is, because you know I still
watch
like a good local.
Shit,
I'm corny with it. I'm like a housewife. I like a little eyewitness news, a little local news.
I rock
with
View. That. Yeah.
I like the View. I fuck with the View. So I'm not gonna lie. I fuck with Seinfeld reruns.
Oh wow.
I'm trying to think what keeps me on live TV. I watch a game here and there, but you know, I ain't sporty sport, so that ain't what's holding me over there. Anything else I'm trying to that's probably about it. Jeopardy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Alec fight strong, keep fighting.
Yeah, yes sir.
But I said fuck that shit, man, because they always want to bundle your cable with a phone bill, a landline bill. I don't need a fucking landline. And they won't budge on that.
See, what company do you have? I have Verizon.
I'm with Spectrum.
Okay.
So so I cut it down. I was like, and I think they hitting me with the dun-dun-dun ass internet. Mm. And they trying to be slick about it because my shit is slow motion. But
I don't know what I'm going to do. Like
fucking with the apps.
This Disney Plus thing, like, I don't think that's for me. The Mandalorian is very tempting.
Who?
The Mandalorian. It's like a Star Wars based series. Bill Burr is supposed to be in it.
Shout out to Bill Burr.
Yeah, shout out to one of the greats. It looks good, but I don't know that I'm gonna. It's like $70 for the whole year, $6.99 a month, and then it just seems like all old like the Disney kiddie movies.
But do you get ESPN?
I don't know if it were. I think you get like National Geographic and something else. I think maybe they bundle it with something else too.
I thought you get everything that Disney owns.
I don't know.
I don't give a fuck.
I just don't seem that. Like, I would even be a little more apt to go to see what they're doing on the Apple Plus TV. Like that show that they've got with Steve Carell, Jennifer Aniston, and. Like Gugu and Mbatha-Raw, like that looks interesting, but I don't know how that works. Do you have to watch it on your laptop or some shit?
I'm sure you can watch it on Apple TV.
Do you have to get that device, right? You have to get like whatever. I don't have.
I'm not even fucking with Apple I'm not even doing any more Apple more shit. Like,
really?
Yeah, not for right now. It's gonna have to. They're gonna have to have something that's magnificent. I don't think I'm adding much more. I already got, like I said, I got,
you got
Hulu,
all this stuff.
Amazon, and Netflix. That's a lot of, and YouTube, because I'm heavy. I watch a lot of YouTube shit.
I do too.
I'm not paying for YouTube, but I
just
watch
the app.
A lot of,
I do that too. Like, I'll like music, and I watch theories on this game, The Last of Us Part Two, that's coming out.
Yeah,
I love that game.
YouTube is community college, man. You can learn a lot.
You learn a lot of shit.
I mean,
how to reset your like
everything,
car, like the
your life.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh shit! I tell you this. You know what I do watch?
What's that?
I started watching. You seen Last Godfather? Godfather of Harlem? The Forest Whitaker joint?
No, is it good? Was that on Epics, right?
It's on Epics. So I think the first two episodes you can watch for free. I added Epics, a trial. We're going to see. I'm probably going to fuck with it. But I like the shit. That third episode wasn't as good. I don't know if it's because I had to add the trial and I'm being a little bit more... giving it more scrutiny.
I think Nikki Sunshine is in that.
Word?
Yeah, she posted a picture on there. Shout out to Nikki Sunshine.
I haven't seen it yet, but shout out to Nikki Sunshine.
Former D Lemon in the Morning cast member.
Absolutely. Anchor. Yeah. Nikki Sunshine. That's good people. oh, shit. That's
I don't
what's
know.
Up.
I might have it. I think with my cable plan.
If you got Prime, you could watch at least the first two episodes for free.
Okay.
And so Forest Whitaker's in there, Victor D'Onofrio, Giancarlo Esposito playing Adam Clayton Powell. Yeah, shit.
Wow.
It's not no bullshit. These motherfuckers is going hard. The third episode I wasn't really the biggest on, but even that was all right. It's good. What I like that they got Lennox Terrace. You know what I mean? They got it's Harlem and it's old Harlem and it's certain shit that are like mainstays still that make appearances in there. So I'm
a
fan.
It's like it's so much shit out there. You're not how do you get your HBO? You watching Righteous Gemstones?
I'm on some
okay.
I'm apped up.
I'm
apped up.
Oh, you apped up? Okay.
So I did the app because I was I'm behind on Righteous Gemstones. HBO got a nice little roster as always.
Yeah.
I
got to get into Succession.
I'm behind a little bit on Succession, maybe 2-3 episodes. That's my shit.
Okay.
I like the Righteous Gemstones. I'm fucking with the Deuce. I might be an episode behind on the Deuce.
Shit.
What else? Euphoria was good.
Euphoria was good, yeah.
I think that's where it begins and ends. Might be maybe one more thing that I'm not thinking of.
I started rocking with season 3 of Big Mouth.
Oh, okay.
It's like Quick, the Nick Kroll, John Mulaney joint.
Right. Yeah, I never made it finish season 1. It was funny.
It's
but
fun.
Just, it's
funny.
A lot of shit. Yeah.
Pleasant, you know.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, sometimes you kind of got to be in a mood to watch certain things. Like some of this heavy shit is like people getting their head blown off. Or some of that shit is just like, okay, let me just chill, maybe get a laugh or something.
Yeah, I saw Deion Cole's special.
That motherfucker is a savage.
Yeah, that shit was dope. I liked it, man.
That was great.
Yeah. Shout out to him. Oh, shit, man. Well, shit. I think we had a nice little chit out.
I think we did, too.
You know?
Sorry that I fucked up that.
Yeah, man, it's all right.
The Lox member's name.
Stay
I'm sorry.
Stay out of Yonkers for about 18 months.
So I can't go to the Alamo Draft House?
Ooh.
Fuck, dude.
I mean, you might have to wear a hoodie.
I said I was sorry. So,
yeah,
I mean,
you know.
My apologies.
Hey.
Don't cancel me.
Let the people know where you're going to be besides the Alamo Draft House.
You can catch me at Chris Lamberth on Twitter and Instagram. I also have a podcast called The Mundane Festival. You can get that wherever you listen to shows. And eventually, you can see me on season 2 of New Amsterdam.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's what it is. Great having you.
Oh, shit. And then if any of your listeners are in Delaware area, November 1st, I'm going to be at the Harrington Raceway and Casino performing.
Shit.
Yeah.
Get your tickets now. I'm going to be at, I'll be at Westside Comedy Club tonight on the 8 o'clock show. So if you got this and it's still time to go. because it's going to be fun. It's going to be lit. It's going to be the shit. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be me. And hold on, brother. Okay. Let me get my rock. I'm at the good old Eastville on the 20th and the 19th, so check that out. And back to Chris.
I was just going to say, I also like the Wu-Tang Clan I mean, what is it? The Wu-Tang, the Hulu series.
Yeah. But it's too late now. We done started telling people where we at. This is we on. Yeah, we on the tarmac, baby.
We're on the tarmac. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, shit. It's time to just. You time to get the fuck out of here. Transform and roll out. And Autobots. With that said, as always, tell a friend to tell a friend,
and even an enemy,
to get in the conversation. We're out.
Conversation.